The views and opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. Our show today is sponsored by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, Printmasters, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance, and we thank them all. If you wish to call us at some point during the show today, the numbers are, as usual, 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259. If you are in any of our beautiful family, 300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612. I'm calling this Medical Monday. And I am so delighted today to be joined by, you know her, she's been gone for a little while, but not too long, our Rise Up to Your Life with Dr. Thor Spill. We've got Dr. Janet Martin back in the studio on the show with us today, and we got a special topic to talk to you about. Welcome, Dr. Martin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lang, and it's Wake Up to Your Life, not Rise Up to Your Life. You know, I've been gone for so long, you forgot the name of our show.
Exactly, you got me, ma'am. But and you know what a wonderful expression, because when your health is improved or better or optimal, it's a wake up. It feels different than when it's not, and that's what we want to do. We want to help people wake up to their life. But again, so glad to have you with us today. I was so looking forward to this.
Thank you. And so was I. I have a special guest with me this afternoon in the person of Dr. DeVoe. She's a pediatrician here at Doctors Hospital Centerville Medical Clinic. And you know her. She's from Freeport. And she works at our Freeport Medical Clinic.
Well, you know how we
go
to Freeport. Like, you know, we...
Hello?
Okay. And I'm listening. I can hear you. I'm good.
Yeah. So I'd like to introduce our listening audience.
Can you hear me, Doc?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'd like to introduce.
Yeah, we're good.
I'd like to introduce our listening audience to Dr. DeVoe, our in-house pediatrician at Centerville Medical Clinic in Nassau, and she also works out of Carmichael Road Clinic, and also in Freeport Medical Clinic. She is our newest pediatrician on staff. And today we are going to talk a little bit about child health, adolescent health. And we want to focus on body mass index and then body mass index. And for children, it's not really body mass index. So I'll let her get into that. And then we want to turn the conversation over to childhood nutrition. Children are just going back in school today. Some went in last week. And we want to talk about those school lunches, home prep meals, and all that good stuff. And she is loaded with information. So, Dr. DeVoe, welcome to our show.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me on.
Hello? Hello?
For them, but we know that's what we want to do for them when they are healthy, when they are well, when they are doing well. We are delighted to no end. And then when they are not doing well, it is one of the saddest things we can experience on planet Earth. And so the extent to which we can help them become the people they should become and to be the people they ought to be, and an important part of that is they're optimizing their health. But today's show is special for me. So how about we just begin, Dr. DeVoe, with an introduction to what we are seeing in the world and community of young people, children and adolescents, and what, you know, positives, what negatives, and then how we can approach dealing with them in terms of their health.
Good afternoon again, and thanks again for having me on. In the field of pediatrics right now, we're seeing, unfortunately, a wave of pediatric obesity. And so we're in the business of prevention as a pediatrician and those that work in this field. And so we're always giving our parents and our patients the necessary tools, the important information that they need regarding their health. And like you said, how to optimize that when they're well. And so I like to stress the importance of having annual well visits with your pediatrician. So don't wait until they have a sniffle or a cold, or, you know, they cut something or they have a rash. Bring them in when they're well, so we're able to sit down, have a good conversation, give you the necessary anticipatory guidance that you need to continue to keep your children as well as possible. And so, as Dr. Martin mentioned, we're having a wave of pediatric obesity, and wanted to just, especially since all of our kids are officially back to school today, talking about what our kids should be eating, the portion sizes, the exercise, the level of exercise activity they should be engaging in, and other things like sleep and emotional well-being that all ties into health. I think we do get bogged down when we speak about health. We're just thinking about nutrition, but we're also talking about emotional wellness and then your mental wellness that goes along with that.
If I might ask, because one of the things I find is that we don't often think about health and children, because there's really, the reality seems like children are always energetic and okay, unless they have a cold or something, or some really significant, we really don't focus on their health as much as we focus on our own health as older people who kind of get aches and pains, et cetera, with some regularity from time to time. I don't know, but like people see children with a little bit of chubbiness, it's kind of like they take it lightly, or it's kind of cute or something. So can we talk about that first, please? The kind of normal way in which we think about children, and because they really generally don't really look or appear sick.
Yeah, and I think that's a very important point, that we focus on adult health, chronic issues. But if we really pause and think, if we start early with our children and give them the good, healthy tools and tips that they need, they won't need to be seen for these chronic aches and pains that we develop in our 30s. And I mean, even now I'm seeing in the 20s, late 20s, 30s and 40s, you would be in a more healthy state to avoid these pitfalls coming further. So as you mentioned, a quote unquote, the chubby phase. So we just came off of summer, and we would have a lot of children. I like to say they would have probably gained some summer 10, unless they were significantly active during the summer. Lots of parents will take that opportunity for their kids to be home, maybe not hustling and bustling as much to get them to so many extracurricular activities, et cetera. But currently, we want to make sure that we're using actual scientific data. So when you take your child to the pediatrician's office, or if you're seeing a nutritionist, one of the metrics besides your height and your weight will be your BMI, which stands for body mass index. And it's really the way we use to measure a child's weight relative to their height. And it's used to assess physical growth. So with children, we like to see them on average. We're looking at the trend of their growth. Some child, I may have seen them last year, and maybe they gained 20 pounds. Well, that's a conversation as to see what's happening. What did their movement change? Did that decrease? Or is there an excess of calories? Maybe mom's job changed and she isn't able to prepare certain meals like she did in the past. It's a good time to have that conversation to make necessary changes for improvement for that child. Or maybe on the flip side, I may have seen a kid last year and they've lost 10 pounds or not have gained the necessary weight for the time that has lapsed. And that's also important for us to know. And so we use these periods that we capture them on an annual basis to give good guidance on nutrition, on their emotional and their mental health.
I like that you were saying, the regular checkups for children, because here again, that's another thing that we are not big on. I remember going to the dentist with my son. He was 14 at the time, and the dentist said, "Well, listen, I want to see him 6 months from now." And then we had planned the next 6 months. And so he was saying, "I want to see these teeth as they move along so that we can make sure we prevent whatever issues." Same thing with child's health, because, children sometimes present with some serious medical issues that we don't pick up unless they are being examined with some regularity, right?
Absolutely. And I love to refer to my friendly dentist about that. Actually, children should have their first dental visit 6 months after their first tooth erupts, right? Mm. And there are lots of people, when I say, it's your two-year-old seeing the dentist, they're like, "Oh no, we don't see them yet. We're waiting until they're five or waiting until they're seven." But a lot happens and a lot that I can see while I'm examining them to say, "Hey, you should be seeing the dentist every 6 months or at least twice per year." So that their oral health is at tip-top shape. You can have things like caries, depending on if they're drinking a lot of juice or if they're breastfed or they're using pacifiers. Lots of information that we're missing in those gaps because we're not seeking that preventative care. We like to wait until there are problems. And so I'm really advocating that we focus a lot more on preventative medicine versus waiting to get a script from the doctor to fix the problem, prevent the problem before it even starts.
Right. One of the things that I also find challenging with children and their wellness is typically a child has to be really down to get to work through illnesses that don't stop them from playing. And so you get to thinking they're okay, but you don't get to find out, they're not okay until maybe that checkup happens, et cetera. Because I once read something that said the reason why children bounce back from, for instance, colds or flus so much is, this is exactly what the article said, because they don't have time to be sick.
And so you actually, when anybody ever asks me why I chose the field of pediatrics, it is for that exact same reason. Children are resilient. They bounce back. They have to absolutely almost be dying before they're not playing. And the minute they feel better, just a tad, they're mm-hmm. back at it. And so that is one of the joys of pediatrics. So that article is absolutely correct in stating that, they don't have time to be sick. Unfortunately, on the flip side, you have adults and they're like, "Oh, I don't feel so good. Maybe the doctor will let me out of work." When kids are saying they don't want to go to school or they're having stomach aches, I'm really taking that seriously.
Right.
Either there's a physical problem or maybe there's like a mental health or a social problem, but there's an issue as to why they don't want to participate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We adults, we cozy up to our sicknesses. Now, my flu, my bad teeth, a tooth, mm-hmm. or something like that. Not that child. A child wants to play. And so we have to, the bottom line is be mindful that as we check our own health, we have to check on the health of our children.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to take our first break, ladies, and then when we come back, we will continue our conversation. We're talking pediatric health today, folks, and we have Dr. John and Martin and Dr. DeVoe from Dr. Sauce. We'll be waking you up to your life. We'll be back after this break. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Hey guys, this Friday, September 13th, Dunkin' is celebrating you on Customer. This special day, we're honoring our beloved founder, George Myers, in the sweetest way possible. All day, with every drink purchase, you'll get 5 free munchkins, George's favorite treat. Thank you for being part of the Dunkin' family. So, mark your calendar for Friday, September 13th. Swing by Dunkin' and grab your favorite drink and enjoy 5 free munchkins on us because we appreciate you.
Offer valid only on Friday, September 13th. Thank you for choosing Dunkin'.
Bueller Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Bueller. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. You can call us on the show on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 from Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 4224796, or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. You know, Doc, one of the things that is not unusual to hear, or a friend or a family member say, why the child putting on all this weight? And the grandparent says, man, don't worry, they can drop that over the summer as they stretch and grow old, et cetera. But is that true?
First of all, it's really not polite to comment on others' weights. I think that's a Bahamian thing. That's a Caribbean thing. Mm-hmm. We like to mention other people's weight, which is really very rude and crass. But it really allows kids not to feel good about themselves. And that's not what we're about. We want to make sure that they feel confident with whatever skin they're in, right?
Yeah. It's body shaming, right?
body shaming at its finest. And so my goal as a pediatrician and then as a mom is to always support children, whatever size they are. The goal is to be healthy, not skinny, right? And so we have these standards, these images that are out there that always photoshopped, whether they're seeing it on, I guess the latest is TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all of these other things that are already coming at them. So they're quite aware of what their body looks like in comparison to all those other things. And so I think the last person to comment should be Grammys or aunties or anything, anybody else that's a part of their belief. We only should be uplifting them. And so in terms of losing that weight during the summer, so kids, their weight does go with their height. If you're not eating well nutritionally, you're not putting on adequate enough weight, then our kids can't grow vertically. Now, that is the advantage kids have over adults, right? They can put on a little weight and then they will stretch out. I always tell adults, you can only go one way. They can go two ways. And so theirs will balance out. In some instances, Grammy can be correct. You know, they lounge around all summer and then today the summer stomach ended. They're back on the school cycle. And if they go back to their proper nutrition, they're having PE a few times a week, they're back outside exercising and you've locked up all the screens throughout the week, allowing them to maintain at least 60 minutes of exercise daily, then absolutely, right? Just like how we always practice and preach that diet and exercise go together, then of course they're going to melt that weight off. And again, unlike us adults, the kids have that Energizer Bunny battery that's going. So they're going to do a lot more movement than we will. So in some instance, Grammy is correct, but Grammy should keep her comments to herself.
You know what is interesting about what you just said? In the family islands, it's somewhat reversed back in the day, because in the family islands, when summer came, you were all over the place running up and down, swimming, et cetera. So you were much more active than you were in school. And you typically may not lose weight, but certainly didn't gain it. And then you may even become less active when you get in school in the family islands. Yeah.
And to add to that point too, on the family islands, you don't have the fast food restaurants, the access to all of the ultra processed foods. Grammy cooks, and you eat breakfast, you eat lunch, and you eat dinner. In addition to moving up and down more on the family islands, so it's a two prong effect on the family islands as opposed to New Providence and maybe Freeport. Because of access.
Right. But Dr. DeVos, were you saying essentially, though, yes, Grammy might be right in some instances, but you're also saying what we are concerned about is not just a look or a weight. We are concerned about that in relation to the child's health, which is something only a doctor or an examination can assess. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. So when you bring your child in, we take their height, we take their weight, and then we plug it into either on, if you have a paper chart, on a little paper or a chart, or we plug it into where the child falls in terms of percentiles for their growth, whether their weight is adequate, whether their height is adequate. And then we are able to better counsel our patients and our families as to what they should be doing in terms of their nutrition, in terms of their exercise, and what goals they need to make as a family to ensure the wellness of their child.
What illnesses, diseases are most prevalent among children that you are seeing as a pediatrician, that you as pediatricians are seeing in the Bahamas?
If we're talking about obesity, I think we're talking about hypertension, high blood pressure, which is something we always, in the past, only classified with adults.
Doc, you guys slow down. And you see high blood pressure in children?
Absolutely. And so the same effects that we're having in adults, we're seeing in children, and we're seeing them earlier. At one point in my career, it was just maybe the teenagers that were overweight, the 15, 16-year-olds. And then we were looking at assessing their high blood pressure. But I've had children now down to 9, down to 8 because of their weight. The blood pressure is high, right? That means the reality of a possible stroke, of the secondary effects of having high blood pressure at 9, makes life a little bit more difficult and precarious at 21, at 25, versus developing high blood pressure when you're 60s and you have, you're closer on the other side of your 3 score and 10. So it's really important to know that we're not just doing this or giving this information just for cosmetic reasons, but it's really for the long-term physical health of our population. And that's why it's really important to invest. We say this often, that, you know, the children are our future, but that really requires an investment into their health so that they can learn, so that they can be productive citizens and our future doctors, future lawyers, future prime ministers, et cetera.
Hey, but because you're talking about a child who presents with obesity that's triggering high blood pressure, if unchecked for years and years, having that pressure build up in those little vessels, etc., and no wonder you're 21, you're 22, you can have a stroke.
It's not years and years. You know, sometimes I will see a kid and they were 8 years old, and then by 10 we have a serious issue, having to think about blood pressure medicines and, you know, interventions, et cetera. And maybe those are more of the extreme cases, but it does happen. Mm-hmm. I think parents are always shocked that they didn't think, they're just a little bit chubby, but they didn't realize that they can have these significant effects on their bodies. Mm-hmm. And so you think about, children are also growing a lot at that time. So instead of their bones being nice and strong, they're literally bowing under the weight, the excess weight that's happening. And so we really have to be mindful about how we're approaching this and how we're, what kind of focus we're going to give to it.
Wow. And one of the things, again, in combination is approaching this overweight with the sensitivity to the child's sense of dignity and, you know, what have you, while at the same time managing the concerns around the child's health.
Absolutely. So tone and approach is very important. You always want to approach without any kinds of judgment, either for the parents or the child. And depending on how old my patient is, you have that discussion with either the parent by themselves and then bring the child in, or you, depending if they're older, then I have the discussion directly. Because at some time, the child cannot... is not the one that's shopping in Super Value. They're not the one in Solomon's. They're not. You have to start with the person that's actually buying the food. And then we can talk about portion sizes, and we can talk about when to eat and what time to eat and what we should be eating. But we really have to, it has to be a concerted effort between parents and the child. But yes, avoiding judgment, tone, approach, so that we can avoid hypertension, we can avoid the diabetes, we can avoid the high cholesterol, all before they're 30.
And it is not unusual to see this, the obesity or the overweight presented as a family issue, because it isn't unusual to see a child who is overweight who has parents who are overweight, because they're all living the same diet and environmental realities, eh?
Absolutely. We're all eating the same thing. What becomes available to the parent, they're making available to the child. And sometimes you just lose track of who's eating what and how much they're eating. You just know that your child is fed. And so there are lots of other, I guess, socioeconomic factors to take into account. Again, this is why we approach this conversation without judgment, because you have to meet people where they are and what's actually available to them, and then make the best nutritional choices from those choices that they do have. It's a conversation to have, not one to be taken lightly. And again, you want to consider the tone and the approach that you're having with your patients, you're having with the family, and you just try to hit the right notes so that they can make better choices for the entire family and hopefully have a better health outcome.
Obesity, nature or nurture, Doc? Is there a genetic factor? Is there an environmental factor? Is there a combination? Is there one that's more dominant? Where do we fall with that in terms of the knowledge that's existing about it now?
Okay. You know, that's a very good question because she and I were both looking at these statistics, recent statistics in the Bahamas. And in 2017, 23% of our children and adolescents were overweight or obese. And the Bahamas ranked up there, you know, on the list nearly as high as the US of A. When we look at the obesity rates in the Bahamas with our children, the latest in the Bahamas Living Conditions Survey in 2001 showed that our overweight and obese males and females was increasing by 13%, leading the pack with overweight and obesity. And so it is an issue. We're having patients come into this clinic where I'm working who are overweight and obese, and children as young as Dr. mentioned, 8 years of age. Some of those children that I've worked with have high cholesterol, and it is from the food choices. And like she said, the conversation needs to be had, but it's a very sensitive conversation. We also have to look at the economics behind it, because unfortunately, we feel in the Bahamas that choosing the unhealthier choices is saving us money in the long run, rather than buying a chicken and going home and preparing it and we have leftovers. And so it is a sensitive topic, but the numbers are rising as it relates to childhood obesity in the Bahamas. We're over 30% with overweight and obesity among our youth in the Bahamas. And so it is important for us to have this conversation and to have it now, move it into 2025.
We are going to get into this some more, but you know, one of the things that I discovered, because my youngest, who at the time may have been about, I could see in his face, he was putting on some weight. While he was putting the weight on in his face and in his body, I was putting it on my belly. And so what I decided to do was make a lifestyle change. And because I was doing it, we stopped buying the sodas and started putting these sweet drinks and stuff in the house and looked at some more lean stuff. So he was eating how I was eating, and I just watched the weight on him and myself go down, and I wouldn't even compel him to do anything like say you need to exercise, etc. I would say let's go outside and shoot some ball. I'd say come go walk with me down the road. And so he just saw it as an invitation to be with his daddy, but what I was doing was exercising me and him.
Yeah, and that's smart, and but it has to take a parent has to take that approach. But if the parent isn't exercising, that's the conversation that needs to be had with the entire family.
Mm-hmm. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. Pay our respects to our sponsors. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We are here with two doctors from Doctors Hospital, waking you up to your life. We're talking about pediatric health, the health of your children, my children. We'll be back after this break.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekday.
Live Alive Music Group, along with Alpha Sounds, presents the best of the best, Raking, Scrape, Explosion, Reloaded. This is the biggest one-day all-Bahamian concert of the year. Featuring KB, D-Mac, Abby, Mama D, Fanshawe, Shine 242, The Falcons, and more. Mark your calendars. It's going down November the 2nd at Super Club Breezes Ground. Tickets now available at BahamasEtickets.com or both Beauty Shack locations. General admission $60. VIP Skybox and Skypods also available. For more info, call 394-0819 or email keepthevibealive242@gmail.com. Experience the magic once again with more legends for one night only. Come party with us November 2nd at Best of the Best. Raking, Scrape, Explosion, Reloaded.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, everybody.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Just so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're listening to Z Live. We are here with Drs. Martin and Vo, Doctors Hospital, and we're talking about pediatric health. Doc, I have two questions for you, really. One is this. If you're a parent, you know, what kinds of signs can you and should you be looking for in your child that might, beyond the fact that you should take them for their regular checkup and maybe you didn't, but over time, things that you might recognize says something is not right with my child's health? I'm seeing that. What kinds of things might that be? And then secondly, how is there a connection between a child's health and weight in terms of education performance? Because we know about kids who may not be performing well in school, and we just assume that, and I quote, they're not smart, they're dumb, but when in fact it could be something underlying that.
There is a connection between the health child and their weight, especially as it relates to how they perform in school. And there are numerous studies out there that confirm that there's reduced concentration, attention, and memory. In addition to the bullying, there are many studies out there that confirm that children are being bullied in school, but the weight also plays a large role in whether they perform well in school. They don't move around as much, so they don't participate in sports, you know, because of their weight. Their memory and attention span is also affected, and of course their grades.
Yeah, I would have to agree. There has been several studies that have shown like a negative impact on school performance, sometimes up to four times more likely to report having problems in school with children that are experiencing obesity. I think it's important to also think about other health issues that come along with having obesity. So sometimes we have those patients that may be experiencing some sleep apnea due to their obesity, And because of that, they're not getting the good sleep that they need throughout the day. They're falling asleep. And this leads back to their obesity. So it's issues like that that we try to evaluate, that we're trying to prevent, so that they are successful in school. And then to go back to your first question about signs to be looking for as a parent, I think it's important to rely on the village, right? Your children now, especially starting today, they're going to spend more time with their teachers or other caregivers than they will with you. You drop them off in the morning, you see them maybe at pickup and then not again until you're done with work for most people that have the traditional 9 to 5. And then it's maybe 2 or 3 more hours before they go to sleep. So those other caregivers, your teachers, you can ask them, oh, how is my child doing in school? You don't have to wait until the PTA conference or the report card day, but you want to ask them, you know, is there anything going on? Are they having any trouble seeing the board? Are they able to complete assignments? Is so-and-so sleeping or anything like that? And I will say that for the most part, our teachers are very engaged with in our educational system. So they're quick to let you know that, hey, Johnny or somebody is not, you know, he's been falling asleep or isn't able to see the board as clearly or seems to be mixing up their letters. And again, that's the time to just pause and say, hey, let me take him to the doctor so that we're not missing anything at this point.
One of the things that I always concerned myself about was how frequently one of my children or more than one would get a cold or something, because I just thought, you're a child, you shouldn't be getting cold as often as you do. Is that something we should look at?
Boy, I will say as a pediatrician during the pandemic, the one thing I will say that was the healthiest I have ever been when it comes to in terms of getting the cold or the flu, because I was guaranteed to be sick at least twice per season just because my patients, especially the little ones, they're coughing directly in my face or in my eyes and they're touching me, et cetera, which we love. But it does come with that downside. So initially, kids are sharers, right? They're at school, right. The preschoolers, they're touching everything that goes into their mouth. They touch their little friend and they pick this up, they pick that up, anything in your house. So it's just really important to just keep them as healthy as possible, knowing that colds and viruses do happen. You expect them to happen. What we do expect is for them to bounce back. So on average, a cold will last about 7 to 10 days. But depending on the virus that you have, inflammation to the lungs, et cetera. So you have that nagging cough that will last for another week or two. And that's what really drives most parents crazy. And so you have them evaluated by their pediatrician or their family physician. And we like to stress, you know, you don't always need medicine. Sometimes you just need us to listen and to reassure you that nothing else is going on. And if there is medicine that's indicated, then obviously we will prescribe. But it's just really important that colds, flus, that's part of being a child, especially that first time kids go off to daycare or the flu season is coming up around October, November, and you start to see more runny noses around that time. So just very important to be aware, and as if they're as healthy as possible, know that their bodies will respond appropriately and they will get better.
I have seen in some children who have significant weight where, for instance, they could actually just be falling asleep with regularity so long as they're not moving. They can quickly go to snoring at nights. They snore with this kind of choking. Is that weight related, or is that just the snoring that they might be doing?
So that's the sleep apnea that earlier, and I want to make clear that snoring is not a normal occurrence. I think people think that it's normal to snore. It's actually not. And so especially with kids and they're doing their annual physicals, it's one of the questions I do ask is your child snoring, and have you seen them pause while they're sleeping? Because when you're snoring or you have sleep apnea, your brain actually is not getting as much oxygen as it should. And then you wake up, right? Because your brain's like, okay, I'm not breathing. You wake up,
even if it's just for a brief 3 to 5 minutes and you have to get back to sleep, that interruption in the sleep cycle can really set them up for a poor start during their day. So it's really important for children, adults, parents, et cetera, if you're snoring, if you're feeling excessively tired throughout the day, it's something to consider that maybe there's something else at play.
It does weight wear on children's joints as much as we hear about it in adulthood. They say, you know, you can be arthritic in a knee or something, and they say, you know what, if you lose weight, it'll take some of that pressure off and maybe reduce some of that inflammation and pain. Is this also a reality for children?
Yes, and that's again, one of the phenomena that we're seeing earlier. Unfortunately, we have kids that we actually have specific conditions that are occurring where their joints are not growing appropriately, but they're slipping out of place due to. So it's really important, again, when you come to your annual physical, we watch how you walk. We're watching to look and make sure that you can bend over appropriately, that your spine is the way it's supposed to be and aligned. And so all of these checks that I'm doing in a fun, engaging manner, there is a method to the madness. And so important to remember the effects of that excessive weight on the joints. Most people, I know we like the term big bones, but the bones are all pretty much within the same size. It's just the excessive weight that's on the bone. So you may look at your friend and they may be physically smaller than you, but your bone density is usually about the same. If they're similar sex, similar age, et cetera. And so we have to make sure that we're not putting excessive stress, early stress, onto the bones that are very much still growing.
We're going to take a break for news now, ladies and gentlemen. But when we come back, we're going to get to that thing, Dr. Martin. We're going to talk about nutrition and diet. And you know, in the Bahamas, that's just fun.
Yes, and both Doctor and I will jump in,
yes,
and share our experiences. Thank you. We'll be back.
Yes, ma'am. We'll be back after this news break, folks. You know you're not alone.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, come this road together, through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad that you could join us. We are here with Drs. Martin and DeVoe of Doctors Hospital, and we are waking you up to your life. And so we're talking about pediatric health today. Doctors, I need y'all to do something for us, and I want you to take your time and do this, because in our country, we love our flavors, we love our food, and I tell people, listen, seriously, we have some great taste in food, we love it, some might even argue we're addicted to it, we enjoy it, but it creates some challenges for us, and this challenge spills over onto our children. So I need us to build us a profile and a guidance with respect to this that really represents a very difficult set of sometimes choices, adaptation for ourselves. So please walk through it however you.
Yeah, we certainly need the help. I think all of us need the help, Shivago. I too sometimes, because I'm a chocoholic, okay? So, you know, we're not just picking on any one person here. What we recommend here, especially for children is, and for adults, is to, you know, use the dietary guidelines of the Bahamas. That's the drum. You know, eat the Bahamian fruits and vegetables that are seasonal. And if we eat seasonal fruits and vegetables, We then now need to look at the portions. And so, yes, our cultural food is tasty. It is very, you know, we want more and more of it because it's so tasty. Well, when we look at the go for gold standard of eating, and that's the Bahamian drum, we get all those Bahamian foods that taste good. But one of the things that they outline on that drum is to, you know, limit greasy foods. And it's the greasy foods that cause the high cholesterol, that cause other illnesses. And so we're not saying not to have these foods. We're looking at how we prepare those foods and the portions, especially for children. I see some adults and have the same amount of food for their child as they would for themselves. And yes, the food tastes good and we go back for seconds. And so we give the child seconds sometimes. And so one of the things we have to really look at is eat seasonal foods. If crabs are in season and you want to make crab and rice, there's nothing wrong with having crab and rice. A child should have less of the rice on the plate than you would as an adult. And so how much rice is this? Well, less than a half a cup for a child, less than a half a cup, and feed them on a smaller plate because we eat with our eyes first and then the smell and then, of course, the taste. So we're not saying not to have the Bahamian diet. What we're merely recommending is take those ingredients, eat seasonally, but look at how you prepare it and then the portions. Dr. DeVoe?
Yeah, I think I spent some significant time away and I remember returning and it's very different from visiting. You know, when I came home during the Christmas, I'm just trying to pile on as much Bahamian food as I can and inhale in the week or two that I'm home. But I realized very quickly that's not sustainable for everyday living now. To come back to portion sizes and not restrict children. They're not on diets, but we're watching what they're eating and the volume of what they're eating and when they're eating.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the salt and sugars. And so we're looking at all of this ultra processed foods we're giving children. And so when we look at ultra processed foods, we're looking at those potato chips. Okay, we're looking at the cheese doodles we're packing in their lunches. Can we swap those out for maybe you gave your daughter something different this morning?
Sea grapes.
Sea grapes are in season. You know, swap out the ultra processed foods, swap out the juices that are high in sugar. And unless the juice is 100% juice. And I say to patients, we only get 100% juice when we actually take that fruit and juice it ourselves. And so, you know, encourage more water. Encourage more water you know, discourage the pizza unless it's a birthday. You know, we're not saying don't give them the pizza, don't give them the burgers or the hot dogs. Discourage it during the week and make it something like, okay, a treat, so to speak. And that way you're monitoring how often they get it and you're monitoring the amount you're giving them. And especially if you have a child that is on this leaning toward overweight or obesity, and you know it is coming from those ultra processed foods, which are the cookies, which are the chips, the snacks, the high sugar, high salt snacks. Because if you continue to give those to the children, they're going to end up in front of their pediatrician with high blood pressure or high cholesterol.
I think I think one of the first changes to make, I usually recommend to families, is really to swap out in terms of the calories that they're drinking, is just to go to water, plain water. Right. You can add a little flavor. You can add some fruits in it to give it a little pizzazz. But water is all that's necessary. I think one of the questions I get as a pediatrician is, doc, when can I give juice? And I'm like, why do they need juice? And you're like, well, you just give them juice. There's no reason to give the juice. But they want to
give the juice because that's what is expected. But really, especially in our climate and with kids that are outside and in PE, et cetera, water is going to be their best friend. It has zero calories and it's absolutely the best for you. So that's probably the biggest change if our listeners walk away with nothing else, if they want to make one significant, because juice is at least 889 something in the various food stores, is to just go to completely water. And if you're going to make teas or something like that, go ahead and make your own tea so that you can be in control of the sweetener that you're adding to it.
But y'all know we're asking for a fight with these kids. You ask why the juice, why the... Yeah, people want to enjoy, or you know, the pleasantness of a flavor, but it's a struggle, is it not?
This comes back to when you ask me at 6 months, when you come in for your shot visit and you asking me about shots, my job is then to, you're going to ask, well, doc, can I give juice? Why are we giving juice? We don't need juice. You can just give them water. Same thing again, they ask at 9 months, at a year, nobody absolutely needs juice. Usually when I'm advising a parent or a child to have juice, I'm actually treating a condition. I've never in my entire career said, go ahead and go and buy juice for absolutely any other reason except constipation. That's absolutely it. There's not a nutritional need for juice for anyone. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to enjoy something, eat the actual fruit.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. If you want to have mango juice, go and eat mangoes when they're in season. Mm-hmm. If you want this particular juice, eat the actual fruit. I think it gives a better, you get more fiber from it. You get to accept just having the sugar. And again, because it tastes so good, you're drinking more than you should. Right. We're the serving size, instead of it being 2 to 4 ounces, becomes 6 to 8 ounces, because that's how much we feel that we can drink. For example, a Coke soda, the can is about 8 ounces.
12 teaspoons of sugar.
That's insane, yes. Right? But we drink that with a meal, with a traditional Bahamian meal.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's enough sugar probably for the month that one setting. So we just have to be mindful, especially for our children. Again, we're here to guide them as their village, as their physicians, as their caregivers, as their teachers. When we're having events at church, when we're having events in the community, just stop and pause. Do we need to get juice, or can we give out bottles of water? Do we need the orange juice, or can we give out mandarins or slices of oranges? What can we swap out to make this more a healthy event for our children and to make sure that we're always focusing on the nutritional value that we're giving them?
And you can also offer them, chocolate milk. Because you're getting the calcium. And so, you know, the chocolate milk is a little sweeter than the white milk or the regular whole milk. But, you know, remember now, if we're giving children juice from a young age, what we essentially do them are helping them to form an unhealthy habit, which is the craving for sugar.
Are you suggesting that that's why I always wanted to have my sweet drink with my meal, because that's what I had when I was growing up?
Yes, because sugar is addictive. And there are so many studies out there now that, you know, are showing that sugar comes, it's a form of carbohydrate, and it's showing the addictive qualities of sugar in the form of sodas, juices, and high energy drinks like Gatorade. Vita malt is extremely high in sugars. Remember when you came to see me and you were drinking your juice, was it, with your meal? Hello?
Yes, ma'am. I was trying not to say it loudly, but I yes, ma'am.
But you shared that on the show before. That's why I brought it up.
Yes, absolutely. No, I absolutely did. No.
Yeah, we making those associations, juice with your meal or juice
at a particular time of the day, you have to have in the morning, you have orange juice. And then for dinner, you have a different type of juice. Water is okay. It's totally fine. Yes, it's a bit plain, but if they haven't, if they aren't introduced to it in the beginning, then there's not a habit to fix as they get older, right? Another thing would be the sodas. We are giving children sodas earlier and earlier. You have the caffeine effect as well, again, as the sugar. Again, all of it is totally unnecessary for children to be ingesting those kinds of beverages.
I wanna zoom in on something a little bit. I wanted to zoom in a little bit more on something. What do we mean by processed food?
Processed foods in general are the ones you're finding in the aisles, in boxes that are able to sit on the shelves for months and months at a time and not go bad, right? And so as best as possible and as best as your budget allows, it's really good to stay on the perimeter of the food store, the shopping mart, buying as fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, meat that's not overgrown or, you know, farm grown, better that the processed swine, et cetera, that we're getting from other parts outside of our country. So processed foods really, they come down to little nutritional value. So the cheese puffs, the Takis, I mean, at one point we were having a Taki epidemic with kids having issues with that particular brand. But lots of the foods that we're sending to school with our kids, because they're convenient and they're individually packaged, really just offer little nutritional value, except to eventually increase their blood sugar and possibly their high blood pressure in the future.
I was listening to a documentary where some health professionals were arguing whether processed foods are really foods, because they say if you look at the content or the makeup of a lot of the stuff we get off the shelf, it says that does the body in fact recognize it as food? And this is maybe one of the reasons why it's so often stored in the liver as fat, or stored or around the body as fat, or in what have you, because it may be more chemical than food.
You're correct, and it's true, and those are recent studies that, because it's kind of what they call hydrogenated foods. They mix water and oils, trans fats, and the body doesn't recognize it as a, say, carbohydrate that breaks down in the body within 5 seconds to an hour, or proteins that breaks down within 2 to 4 hours. So it doesn't recognize, or healthy fats like extra virgin olive oil. So the hydrogenated fats, the trans fats, they're not broken down in the body, digested in the body as, and absorbed in the cells as does the healthier fats and the regular carbs and proteins. And so you're right, the body stores it, and it causes inflammation in the body. Diseases come out of that inflammation, stomach diseases and other illnesses as well. So you're correct.
I'll give you my own. Changing my diet, not creating a new lifestyle of eating for me, which was something that preceded even my prostate cancer diagnosis. I was seeking to do it before that, but became more important even after that. Let me confess that given the level of ignorance I had about, in quote, healthy eating, preparing meals that were differently prepared than my cultural exposure had me, I had some moments, doctors, where I was paralyzed. Okay, so I went and researched I went and listened to, you know, how do you prepare this? How do you prepare that, et cetera? It's a new world. It's a different world, at least the one that I was confronted with. How do we approach some of the adjustments that we are being asked to do with a level of manageability and practicality that don't overwhelm people?
That's a very good question. Education, you know, Doctors Hospital has a plethora of education, lots of education. Every department you walk through, we have education on foods. Someone, if it's a child, in this instance, we're talking about child health, your pediatrician. That is one of the reasons why we have Dr. DeVoe on this show today. We are starting where we want families to come in to get this information. It is a lot of information. When you go on the web, when you go on Google, there's a lot of information that can overwhelm you. Some of that information is not researched. A lot of persons go on TikTok, Instagram, and they're just pulling information from all over the place. But if you want researched information, you can seek out your physician, you can seek out your pediatrician, but we have lots of information. And ask questions from the experts. Get your answers from the experts, not from TikTok, not from Dr. Google, because there's so much information, it is overwhelming. But start with our gold standard for living, just the Bahamian drum. We like John Canoe. Well, our food pyramid is the Bahamian drum. And so if you begin to just eat our cultural fruits and vegetables, you're going to get all of the nutrition from your cultural fruits and vegetables. And then you bring in the protein. It's easy. Bake, boil, broil, or grilled. Stay away from the frying. But if you fry, you're looking for a different type of oil. You're looking for a vegetable oil. So, you know, if you want to keep it simple, you could keep it simple by just choosing foods from our food pyramid, which is the drum, which is seasonal vegetables. And then look at your portions. You know, don't give the child the same amount of food that you're eating. The child is growing, yes, but you still have to, you know, take into consideration that their stomachs are not, readily... help me out here, doctor.
Their stomachs aren't the size of ours. Yeah, they're not. They're absolutely not.
You know,
and so I am actually staring at this chart in your office. You're talking about education and half the plate of your child or our plates in general, half of it should be vegetables, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other quarter is protein, and then the other quarter would be a starch. And so I think starting there, to keep it simple, my professors back in medical school lived by the acronym KISS, keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. And so you want to keep it simple. You want to just do a protein, vegetables. That's easy kind of when you go into the food store. I'm having today, okay, it's chicken thighs. What vegetable we're having, is it broccoli? Is it cauliflower? Is it this? Or is it sweet carrots? We have that. Now I'm saying when we say sweet carrots, I don't mean you go and boil the carrots with honey and then you add hot cream and all of that stuff. It's usually steamed or, you know, a little bit of seasoning, not too much salt. And then whatever starch you're going to have, but just a minimal amount. So that's the way to start. You can then, you know, play with your recipes, add your little jazz, your pizzazz to it. But if you keep it simple, start right, I think it's a good bedrock for families to all be involved. If people get a choice of what vegetables they're going to have, they get a choice of what protein they want to engage in and what the starch is going to be for that day. I know as parents, we're mostly authoritarian, and I'm guilty of that too, but it's good to give children choices, right? So you may not want cauliflower. You don't just say, okay, you better eat this cauliflower. It's cauliflower or broccoli or cauliflower or this, so that they're more engaged in what they're going to eat and enjoy for that day.
Yeah, and take the children shopping with you.
Absolutely. It's not too early for them to start reading labels.
Yeah.
So that they realize that these ultra-processed foods are not real food. And they hopefully will make the decision to, again, stay on the perimeter as they're shopping in the food store and lean more towards fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, and whatever protein that the family decides, but it has to be a family effort, right? We cannot address pediatric obesity without engaging our parents, without engaging their caregivers. Everybody has to be on board so that children are not isolated, right? And feel like we're putting them on a diet or we're ostracizing them or anything like that. We want to do it with confidence. We want to do it with sensitivity and with dignity and respect. So everybody has to be on board as we make these lifestyle changes for a healthier family and a healthier Bahamas.
You know, one of the things that, one of the things that among the, including the things that you all mentioned just now that helped me was that I learned from someone, okay, so you're starting out with an attempt to adjust your lifestyle. And sometimes for some people, many people, stopping something cold turkey is a challenge. So what they said when they were asked the questions was an expert on sugar and these kinds of things was said that, well, they were asked about what to cut out. He says, you know, in the first instance, I don't talk about that. I try to say that because if you go to some cultures, the diet is so entrenched that and the circumstances so real that you may not be able to readily make some of the adjustments that we're talking so easily. But he said that I talk to people about what to add to your diet that can counter some of the things that your diet might be doing. So you're not getting off of this as much or as quickly, but you can add these things and that can be helpful to you. And then over time, you can work toward getting where you want to go with your lifestyle eating. Also, not to discount the importance of flavor. You know, for my self and my son that had mushrooms as the base, but when he was eating it, when he was finished eating, I said, how was that? He says, it was delicious. I said, you know, it has no meat in it. Eh? He says, get out of here. I said, it had no meat in it. Because, you know, what we were able to do based on some guidance I got, you talk about education, was to be able to flavor it where he was able to enjoy eating it. And so if you spend enough time and do enough work and get enough guidance from people who know, the experts, as we say, you can both enjoy and make a lifestyle change that works for your health, right?
You're right. And I like that when I work with patients, I do a progression of elimination. No, you cannot change a behavior you've been practicing for years overnight. And I think it is highly insulting for someone to come and in front of me with a condition and they need to change these behaviors and I expect them to change them overnight. Habits don't work that way. But if you slowly add something healthier and slowly decrease the unhealthy food, then those changes will amount to something great in the end. And so that's a good approach as well. Slowly decrease the amount of sugar. If you were getting 2 tablespoons in your tea or coffee, making the child the lemonade or the Kool-Aid, and you were putting 2 tablespoons, then this week go to 1.5. Next week go to 1. So slowly reduce that unhealthy food and increase the healthier food. When we involve children in the process, children are excited. They feel, very excited about it, and they're happy to share what they like. And so if you take your child grocery shopping, when you go through the aisles with the processed food and they're reaching for that chip, you can use that as a teachable moment and show them the unhealthy stuff that's in that on that label. And so it's important to include the children, as Doctor said. It's a family affair. When the children want certain things and they have a party, for instance, on the weekend, you need to monitor what they bring home in the sweets. You're not saying you don't eat all of the sweets that you got from the party, but you decide how much of that you give to the child at the end of the day. Go ahead. Yep. Sorry.
No, please go ahead. Finish it.
No, I was just saying it's a process and it's a family affair. You remember that song? It's a family affair.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And it's to help children appreciate the whys of why you're saying this is unhealthy, because unhealthy may be an abstract notion for them that's not connected to why a thing and what a thing is doing to your body and what the consequence of that is too. And children love to know the whys, and that helps to connect them. We have a caller on the line. Let's go take that call. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes. Good afternoon, Doctor and Mr. Lang. I want to ask a question. I hear you're talking about water. Are there any substitutes like, let's say, for example, the carbonated flavored drink or the flavored water or even the Crystal Light? How do you take to those drinks versus juices and sodas and all the others?
Okay, so the Crystal Light, you have to read the labels. We don't know if they have added sugars in the Crystal Lights. But you can make your own lemonade, and then you could get, you control the amount of sugar you put in it. Or you can take the water, just the plain water, and add fruit to it. You can make your own flavor, a half of lemon or half of orange in that. So instead of taking the money that you would use, especially if you're on a budget, to buy the flavored waters, you can make your flavored waters at home, and you know exactly what you're putting in it, and you're using the fresh fruit to put in that flavored water.
Okay, I understand all those drinks, but what if I'm driving about here, there, and everywhere, and I want to stop into the food store as opposed to buying a, can I preferably get a Gatorade maybe? And I'm also thinking of the children in school, because the schools are selling sugar drinks. So that's something that has to be tackled with Ministry of Education to guide our children to being healthy.
You're right. And the Ministry of Health is working they're working towards eliminating those sweet drinks in school, and they are pushing water for the children. Now, when we talk about the sweet drinks that are being sold, a lot of them are being sold on the outside of the school, but on the inside of the school, they are pushing more water for the children. If you're driving about and you want to stop and get a flavored water, there's nothing wrong with that, but you don't want to make that an everyday. As it relates to Gatorade, Gatorade is high in salt and Gatorade is high in sugar as well. Gatorade really is for somebody who's been who's an athlete, for instance, and they have been exercising for over an hour or for hours, and they've lost a lot of fluid through sweating. And so electrolytes needs to be replaced. And so Gatorade is a good replacement for electrolytes. But if you're just drinking it to have a drink, you're taking in excess salt and excess sugars.
Okay, thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you. Go ahead, ma'am. One of the things, I like to be practical about the world, as I like to tell people. When I came to see you, I told you about the drink that I drink with a fruit juice or a soda with my meal, and you said, okay, well, you know, I don't want you doing that, but if you're going to do it, I don't want you doing it with the meal. You got to wait some time, and then you got to have some, and maybe if you could dilute it, you should dilute it, etc., which for me was a doable proposition until really now I don't do that at all. So that worked for me. But one of the things that I do with my son is I have a hack. So I said, listen, you know, you just had the pizza or you just had that soda, that soft drink. Time to go walk or run, bro. Play some basketball now. Because if your body is moving like that, what the body is going to do is use up the glucose in the blood And therefore, what you just took in isn't going to add to the glucose in the blood. And what we're trying to do is keep your blood sugar level down. And so that's one of my personal hacks. And that's one of the things I do with him.
Excellent. Excellent. And you see, the thing about it is you're moving. We have a large percentage of our population who don't move as readily. They don't move as often. For children need to be outdoors moving at least an hour or more every single day. But they're having, they're not moving. So what you're doing with your son is exactly what we should be encouraging our children to do so that we can increase the metabolism and burn off that excess sugar and excess salt so that the body then performs at its highest level athletically and mentally as well.
Yep. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have to take a break. We're going to come back after the break and continue this. We have a number of questions, folks. So when we come back, we'll get to your questions. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shpago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
When you jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is... For the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your stall today at the HitSpot and listen to...
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on...
Guardian Radio 96, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shpago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today as we wake up to your life with Doctors Hospital. We're here with Drs. Martin and DeVoe. We're talking about pediatric health. In this segment, we're dealing with nutritional habits that can help you, your children, achieve a more optimal lifestyle and health. We do have a caller on the line. Let's take that call. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, I'm so grateful to you for broaching this subject. Having lived in Europe for a long time where people are not obese, one of the things that I learned, because as I was raising my son when he was a baby, was I was to give him us everything so that he could develop his paper. The only thing I missed out on was cheese because I wasn't a cheese eater. And so it didn't occur to me at the time to give him cheese. But what would happen with that, there is a period where the child eats and you develop their taste for things. And so another thing that has changed in the Bahamas, I don't know if it's so much the food as the fact that when you cook peas and rice, you went outside and you picked your peas and you shelled them and you boiled them. You grew your potatoes and you were getting thyme and everything else. So it wasn't processed. It wasn't treated. I don't know if that is what has made a difference. And the other thing was sitting down, passing by the houses and smelling the pots cooking. I don't know how many people still cook for their family. And, well, over there in Europe, they say when the best part of digesting a meal is sitting down and sharing it together. And so they set the table and people sit down to meals twice a day. And the children are served a hot, balanced meal in the schools. When obesity became a problem, they banned it. They didn't talk about banning. They took all the vending machines out. And so we are confronted with thousands of fast foods everywhere and people selling them sugars. Sometimes it breaks my heart because they can't function in school with all that sugar they're eating. And there's no reglementation. So I think that if people would just simply go back to cooking meals and sitting down with their children and stop bargaining about food, but make food what it is supposed to be, a time of eating foods that are good for the body and being together and conversing together, it might change a lot. Because I don't know how you can attack the problem when the mothers and fathers are overweight and the children follow in their footsteps. And so more and more parents are burying their children. They're not living to old age. Anyway, thank you.
Did I hear you say that you were in Europe, or you said in America? Okay.
I think she said Europe.
Oh, she said Europe. Okay.
Yeah, she said Europe. And she made some really good points. And some of the points that she highlighted was the fast food restaurants. You know, we have many and many of those here, and I don't want to, you know, take food out of anybody's mouth. But there are some countries in the Caribbean that don't have these fast food restaurants, hence they don't have the obesity levels that we have. She made another point about the vending machines. When they noticed the obesity levels rising in Europe, they removed the vending machines. What the FDA in the United States is doing now, because their obesity levels have increased as well, what they're doing with school health is they're moving the vending machines. And in some instances, what they're doing is they're controlling what goes in the vending machines, where if it's a high school or a college. So certain processed foods or snacks can no longer be in a vending machine if that vending machine is in a school, on school. And so there are some policies that we could start to implement, but it's from a governmental standard, where we could start to tackle the obesity level in the Bahamas. Because when we look at 30% of our school-age children who are obese, and by 2030, according to the World Obesity Association, it's going to be tripled, then we need to start looking at creating new policies and looking at what we allow to come into the country and specifically into our schools.
This text says, "Hi, Shivago. Hope all is well. I'm listening to your show. Do they have any thoughts on smoothies for adults and children?"
I think smoothies are good if we make them from home, because then we know what we're putting in it. I believe that if we can cook 80 to 90% of our foods from home, then we know exactly what's going into our body. Smoothies are excellent. When we purchase a smoothie from out, however, You have persons adding in honeys and different sugars so that it tastes good. We want to bring you back for more. So even when you do the smoothies, we have to look at what we're putting in the smoothie. We have to look at the amount that we're drinking, be a meal. But if we're going to drink the smoothie and then eat the meal, we're still eating too much in one sitting.
And again, I think it's useful for people, you can tell me, being practical. I mean, you do have restaurants. People love to eat out in restaurants. But this can't be your lifestyle. This can't be you and the child eating at a fast food restaurant 2, 3, 4 times a week, et cetera. You know, like you said before, Dr. DeVoe said before, you do these things as a treat. And they're not your lifestyle. This is not where you're getting your attempting to get your nutrition. You're doing this as an outing to, you know, just to have an outing or something, because people are living in a world where these things are out there and people are going to have it. This can't be your lifestyle, right?
That's right. And that's essentially what the message we want to leave with persons. Make the lifestyle, the home cooked meals, the family meals. And I've heard persons say, well, the foods in the grocery stores are expensive and it's cheaper to buy from these restaurants. Consider, when you go to a fast food restaurant or any restaurant, you get a meal for that moment and you eat that. You very rarely have leftovers. But if you go into the grocery store and you get some chicken and you get some cabbage and some carrots and some other vegetables and you get some rice, and you will end up with leftovers for lunch, for instance, depending, or a second meal the following day, depending on the amount of people in your home. And you would have cooked that and know what you put in that meal.
This text says, good afternoon, great show as usual. The doctor cautioned against using Google for medical information. However, I find Google to be very helpful. I have also observed doctors in TMH with their tablets using Google to diagnose and treat illnesses from the same site I visit. In fact, I recently diagnosed an acquaintance with acid reflux using Google and their symptoms when it took their doctor 4 months and a hefty bill to arrive at the same doses. That's a very dangerous statement, doctor, is it not?
Wow.
Listen, please go ahead.
So we love the use of having that information right at your fingertips. But a physician using Google and a layperson using Google is totally different.
Yeah.
We're looking for information. We're looking for researched information and quality information to make medical decisions.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I'm happy to respond to my patients, to my family, my friends. They saw this on Google. Maybe they have that. Usually it starts with, am I going to die from this? But we are approaching Google with 2 different levels of education.
Yeah.
Extensive studying your physicians would have gone through and be able to rigorously analyze the information and then give an informed opinion. So I will be the first to admit, as a physician, I do not know everything. What? I can't possibly know everything about pediatrics. I've seen thousands of patients, and yet every day we're learning something new. I'm always doing questions. I'm in some sort of, seminar. My friends are always teasing me, are you taking up something again? Yes, because the information constantly changes. That, as a layperson, you cannot keep up with to compare your. So please don't bash us for using Google, but we're using Google appropriately.
This is Z-Live, and I read that to get that information out to people, because I tell them all the time, even scholars, even academic scholars approach research over the internet differently, because they're looking at peer-reviewed research material, which is entirely different than some summary given by someone, which might even be helpful or even accurate, but that's not the same thing. So please, folks, be careful with that, please. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
Right, good afternoon. I want to know, how long does it take for a diabetic neuropathy, neuropathy to develop.
So fortunately, that's not as common in our pediatric population. That's probably more of an adult issue. However, that will lean more towards how uncontrolled your diabetes is, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're a person that is not checking their sugars on a regular basis, as advised by your physician, or you allow your numbers to get out of control and adjust until you, quote unquote, feel the level of the sugar, then you're definitely going to get to that endpoint of diabetic neuropathy much faster than someone that's controlling their sugars, has made lifestyle changes, and is doing their best to combat that disease.
And the neuropathy means what?
So there's a loss of sensation. Usually for persons with, it's usually their fingers and their toes. And so a lot of times we like to use the euphemism of people having sugar. And the sugar costs them their toes and the sugar costs them their fingers. But it's really that diabetic neuropathy, the loss of sensation. You bump your toe, you don't realize it's infected. And then by the time you do notice it, it's so far gone that you may end up with amputation. So it's really important to make those lifestyle changes early. I know it's not comfortable, especially if you're pricking your fingers on three times a day, but there's loss of vision, there's increased risk of stroke, there's loss of mobility. All of these things are the other side of not checking those sugars, making those appropriate lifestyle changes.
Is this something that can be cured?
Diabetes, is that, or neuropathy?
The neuropathy.
Unfortunately,
I understand it's a nervous condition.
Unfortunately, with diabetes, diabetic neuropathy, it's and you have type 2 diabetes or type 1 diabetes, whatever type you have. Unfortunately, it cannot be cured. But as doctor said, if you are maintaining those lifestyle choices with food and keeping your blood sugars under a certain level and your A1C, that's your hemoglobin, glycosylation is recommended, you can slow down the progression mm-hmm. of it. But this, unfortunately, it's not reversed.
Not reversible.
Listen, docs, you got to come back because I got all kind of texts here. The people have some questions, but we are fresh out of time. But please let me know and we are happy to have you back.
Thank you for having us. And we'll let you know sooner rather than later. We
Excellent.
Do want to do something this month because it's Alzheimer's month mm-hmm. as well. So we want to do that. We have a lot of Bahamians who are being diagnosed with dementia and Alzheimer's.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. We've been here with Drs. Martin and DeVoe of Doctors Hospital as we woke you up to your life. We are so glad you could join us. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host, God's Best Life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Do well.